Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Stone, it has been a whirlwind month for us, hasn't it?
It most certainly has. It's time we got back to work and got some rest, I think.
That's right, back here in the city of Atlanta, and I'm excited about today's show.
This is going to be a fun show, but before we go there, I think we got to give a shout-out to Riverwood Drama Department. They have a play all this week, I believe, called Almost Maine, featuring none other than Max Cantor in the signature vignette, Sad and Glad?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. So we want to make sure that we get
much.
That out there. And
wasn't expecting that.
Holly Stone and family are planning to catch at least one of those performances later in the
Very nice. I'm excited to see you there.
But we do have a fantastic segment. We've got our good friends from the public relations profession here today. We're going to visit with several, some of whom have been here before. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio, let's get things started with the president-elect of the Georgia chapter of PRSA, also has a real job, manager global external communications for Novellus. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Mr. Neil Hirsch. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having us today.
Now, before we really get into this, can you talk a little bit about PRSA, what's their mission and scope, and what you guys are doing for folks?
Absolutely. Public Relations Society of America, we're part of the Georgia chapter. We have over 800 members, making us the second largest chapter in the country. And we're really all about creating opportunities for professionals in the public relations industry, learning opportunities, networking opportunities, advancing the profession and the professional is sort of at the heart of what we do.
Now, public relations and advertising are kind of cousins. How would you describe their relationship?
Absolutely. Very closely related. We talk a lot about integrated marketing communications and trying to have a very comprehensive and fully integrated way in which we're marketing and communicating to audiences. And so, you know, you think about it as tools in a toolbox. Mm-hmm. And you can use different ones depending upon what you're doing, and public relations has a number of really powerful tools.
Now, I went to University of Florida, and I graduated from the School of Journalism, but I have a degree in advertising, mm-hmm. and that was a subset of the School of Journalism, as was public relations.
Yes.
Is that still the case nowadays?
Generally, yes. I'm actually a graduate from the University of Georgia, so apologies to you. And it is also part of the journalism school, and the advertising and public relations departments tend to be co-housed.
Now, why do you think that they fall under the umbrella of journalism and not like marketing?
Sure. Advertising may fall under marketing in some places. In terms of public relations, core communication skills are at the heart of what we do.
Uh-huh.
So being a strong writer is really important, and a lot of the skill sets that you would develop as a journalist are very much part of what you need to do as a public relations professional.
But advertising is a pay to have access to this, like it could be in a magazine, newspaper, in
sure.
any type of media. Public relations, I always thought, was more trying to get in front of an editor to get a client mentioned or used as an expert source. Like there was, they had a tighter relationship
sure.
in my mind with the journalist
sure.
than the advertising person was kind of a
right.
kind of a. There was a dark line between advertising and editorial where PR was kind
right.
of more on the line.
Yeah, I would say lines are blurring today.
Uh-huh.
But public relations traditionally has been focused on earned.
Right.
So what do we do to present opportunities that are compelling to journalists to cover? So media relations is a core part of what we do as public relations professionals.
Even still to this day?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Even as we think about how much the media landscape has evolved, you all are very close to that, I'm sure. But still, as there are multiple channels to communicate and traditional media are not the only ones, traditional media still play a very powerful role.
Now, can you talk about earned media? What does that mean nowadays? Like maybe kind of go back to what it used to mean and what it means today.
Right. Well, I mean, we talk about earned and paid. So paid
okay.
would be advertising opportunities. Earned would be things that are quote unquote free.
Right.
And the things that are, you know, you see on the cover of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, whatever they're writing
right.
about. And if you are working with an organization or client and trying to position them in a certain way, whether it's thought leadership or a promotion opportunity, we're constantly looking for where can we connect our story with the right audiences.
Mm-hmm. Now, where would, like, if I have this, I have a phone, a Samsung Galaxy Note 2,
mm-hmm.
and how about I have a sitcom character holding that? What is that?
Product placement?
Right. Is that a blurred line?
I think that is a blurred line. Some of my agency colleagues who are here today can probably speak to that better than I can, but that is something that probably falls under the category of blurred lines today. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a marketing partner or a PR partner, if you have a product and it makes sense to look for placement opportunities, that's certainly going to be part of the program.
So you knew that you wanted to pursue this career path way back in school? Because I was clueless.
I did not. I did not. Absolutely not. I actually went to college thinking I was going to be the next Tom Brokaw.
Ah.
And here I
am. That's news to Elise. She had no idea.
Yeah. So... I knew I wanted to do something in communications, mm-hmm. and midway through my college career decided, you know what, I'm not sure if that's exactly right for me, and really stumbled into this career. I had some great internship opportunities while I was in college, which confirmed for me this was something that I thought I would be really good at and would really love, and it's proven to be that.
So now in public relations, can you track back, like you said, you wanted to be, I guess, in front of the camera. That
right.
was your initial expectation of your career. And now you're kind of behind the scenes and you're holding and you're putting your clients in the spotlight
right.
and trying to give them that
sure.
kind of opportunity. How has that changed now currently? Because now putting your clients in the spotlight in some ways is a lot easier. There's a lot more
right.
spotlights. You know, before there were a handful of spotlights.
Right. Absolutely. Everyone's attention is splintered. There's so many different places that people can go for news and information.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you see that with they talk a lot about how the broadcast network news shows in the evening have seen their audiences erode. That people don't consume news and information the way they did, even probably just 5 years ago. And, you know, with the advent of smartphones and the internet and social media, it absolutely has transformed, even in the last 15 years where I've been involved in the profession, to see how much change has occurred has been pretty amazing. So, yes, there are a lot more opportunities, but there's also a lot more competition for time and attention. So cutting through the clutter becomes an even greater challenge.
So who did you bring with you? I know we mentioned Elise a moment ago.
Yeah.
Introduce your colleagues.
Great. Well, we're actually all part of the board of directors for the Public Relations Society of America. I'll be president next year. Stephen Brown is going to be president following me in 2015. And Elise Hammett will be our secretary next year. And they also are longtime members of the chapter and great professionals and great colleagues and friends.
So, Stephen, thanks for coming back. I mean, you knew all about this platform and you came back anyway.
I love business radio. I love coming on.
So now, Elise, why don't you talk a little bit about why you got involved in PRSA?
Sure. I've been involved with PRSA more than 20 years. I started
wow.
when I was two. And the reason that I got involved is because I wanted to advance my profession.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, the world turns on a dime, and if you can't turn with it, then you're out.
It's like Project Runway.
Exactly. So not only do you have to look good, but you have to walk your talk, right? And PRSA offers so many member benefits for a great annual payment value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we constantly have access to free webinars, to a monthly meeting where the best networking in the city is done, to accreditation, which all three of us have, that is a real definer for our industry.
Accreditation, APR, is that?
Uh-huh.
What does that mean?
It means that you're accredited in public relations. Mm-hmm. It is just that simple. And, you know, the easiest way to define it for us, Lee, is if you had an accounting issue, would you go to a bookkeeper or would you go to a CPA?
Right.
If you had an opportunity to, if something was going on with your heart and you wanted an opinion, would you go to your internist or would you go to a cardiologist?
Right.
So the accreditation is a voluntary program that is established by the National Society. And what it does is helps us take our profession to the next level so that we are standardized in how we speak and it helps professionals think critically on behalf of their clients.
Now, I would think that that's more and more important as, like Neil was saying, that the profession's evolving. I mean, there weren't, you know, 20 years ago, there weren't as many bloggers and there weren't, you know, as many kind of social media outlets as there were.
Right.
You know, when you were dealing with, okay, I'm going to get my client in the newspaper or in the Wall Street Journal, like there was... those rules were kind of clear.
Exactly. So it used to be that there was just television, radio, and
print.
So then in this majesty of online, we've created Instagram and Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook, right?
Fit into that?
Yes. And so as communications professionals, it's our role really to be channel neutral, but to find who those target audience members are and how do we reach them.
Right.
And if they're on Pinterest, then that's where we want to be.
But you still have to respect that earned media. Right. In order to be public relations, right? Isn't that kind of the dividing line? It has to be earned. It can't be paid
for. That's correct. We don't pay. Right.
Right. Isn't that true?
That's correct.
Because then that becomes advertising at that point once it becomes paid.
Yes. We're earning opportunities
for your clients.
Yes. For those clients to be seen in various venues. Mm-hmm.
Now, Lise, this is Stephen. I would just add to that that one wrinkle is we do earned media, but when you talk about something like a Facebook, we also manage those channels for folks. So hearkening back to our journalism majors in some cases, we actually are now citizen journalists who are reporting daily, engaging with customers, consumers on some of these social media as well. So it gives us definitely the best invention that's ever happened for public relations is social media.
Which goes all the way back to, you know, how important this continuing education is, right?
Oh, yeah. To stay on top of it.
And you can imagine, as Neil alluded to earlier, how important education is to our profession. And, you know, the world really does change in a day. And our ability to keep on top of that and helping professionals, whether they're the PR manager for a Fortune 500 company like Neil or in an agency environment like Stephen and I are in.
Right.
So what's your favorite part about the profession? How long have you been doing this? 20-something years?
20-something years.
Wow. What do you like the most about it?
I really just like putting buyers and sellers together. So when that magical moment occurs and you see the tipping point occur where you have changed a behavior for an audience, it is the most rewarding moment for us as professionals.
And there's a subset or a specialization in your profession, too, that deals with crisis management, right? Haven't we had a couple of folks in here from that do it? So there are people within your association, probably, and there's probably even coursework around that, yeah?
Yes.
Yes, here at Conan Wolf, one of our specialties is crisis and issues communications. We do have a whole group for that and helping clients maneuver through that. So in addition to Elise saying that it's so rewarding when you've changed a behavior, it's also rewarding when you've helped take a client from sweating bullets to being able to get back on solid footing with their brand and their reputation, because you definitely want to be there when the good times are happening, but when there's something that's an outside force that could be troubling to a company, you want to make sure that you're keeping their reputation aloft.
Maybe we should get a retainer along those lines just to protect us from Kevin, because he gets a lot of mic time when we're not even in the studio.
That's right. We need some crisis management. Now, how do you go about managing the expectations of a client? Like you, Elise and Stephen, you're both part of the agency side. The client comes in and they're like, well, I'm going to hire a PR firm and you guys are great at what you do. And so I'd like to be on the Wall Street Journal next week. And then after that, a Time magazine cover would be nice. You know, put that in the plan. And, like, how do you guys prove to your client that it's worth the investment?
You've met some of their clients before.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that's true or not. That's how I imagine it to be.
It is. You know, when a client walks in the room, oftentimes public relations is a bit of a mystery to them. They know it can help. They know that it's maybe more affordable in some cases than advertising and other things.
Like the wizard.
Yeah, exactly. But oftentimes they do think that Wall Street Journal or, you know, ABC News is going to happen.
They've been waiting
right
for them, right?
Absolutely.
Diane Sawyer's just sitting there waiting on the press release to come across.
Finally, Elise, you got them for me.
And so oftentimes we start with audience. We want to make sure that we're really defining the key messages of the company and the audiences are trying to reach. I met with a client yesterday that's in the real estate industry, and they don't want to reach consumers yet. They want to reach agents, real estate agents. And so that's a big difference. You know, you're talking to Inman News and some really discreet trades that are very important to those folks in the same way as you might later be telling USA Today about this great new innovation for real estate. And that's when you'd be talking to consumers. So you've really got to define that audience. We have business to business, business to consumer, and business to employee communications that are some real big genres.
So that's like internal communications within a company. So that I didn't
realize. Keeping Kevin out of trouble.
So I didn't realize that was a public relations role, not an HR role.
Yeah. So and think about that in a big old corporation like where Neil works every day, and how important those employees are, you know, to being ambassadors of his brand.
And you have to, I guess, Neil, you would have to make decisions or at least be a part of making decisions with, is it okay for our employees to use social media and communicate, right? Those are kind of strategic decisions that you have to make.
I mean, the internal side of communications, I think, has really grown extensively in the last 5 to 10 years. You see organizations starting to dedicate resources to that area of practice like they've not before.
Was it previously an HR function, or was it just not even a
function at all? Yeah, it was probably one of those things that if it happened, it happened. Someone did it, maybe in HR who wear multiple hats. But now you're seeing the evolution of dedicated professionals focused just on employee communications, and with the notion that engaged and empowered employees are your best advocates.
Right.
They're your best brand ambassadors. They're your best spokespeople, and they can only do that if they have the right information. Specifically related to social media, that applies too as well, obviously. If you want people out there who are brand evangelists for your organization, you want them to have some guidelines, roadmap to follow so that the best intentions result in the best outcome and not something else unfortunate. So many organizations today have social media policies for employees that provide those kinds of guidelines in terms of the rules of the road and the things that they should be thinking about. You know, if something is confidential or proprietary, that's out of bounds. But otherwise, you're speaking as yourself, as an employee of the company, and we love for people to engage in conversation.
But how does that work in there? Like, and say I'm an employee of yours, and I'm on my personal Facebook. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, on one hand, you're like, well, if there's a Novellus fun run, I sure want them to tell their group about it. But I don't want them to say certain things that if they're mad about something.
Right. I mean, that's where the guidelines come into play. Hopefully, you can educate employees so that they have that understanding up front. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, there are instances where social media, abuse of social media or violation of policy has led for employees to be dismissed, not our organization, but you see that in the news from time to time. You see a flight attendant who posts something on Facebook and that leads to an issue. Or when you have in the hospital world, for instance, where you have patient privacy issues and a nurse, for instance, perhaps discloses something on their Facebook page that they shouldn't, those can be fireable offenses. So it is a serious thing. So that's why having a strong policy is really important. Not just having a policy, but making sure employees understand what that is.
And, you know, I might add two things to that. At PRSA, we're really all about learning. So case studies and white papers are constantly available to our members that showcase examples like Neil has just talked about in the healthcare world and IT world. In the consumer goods world, so that we can learn from these Fortune 500 experiences, whether they're for internal communication or external. And the second thing that I would say is PRSA also has an amazing, very robust sections that we call special interest groups. Mm-hmm. And those enable professionals that are in the healthcare world or specifically serving technology firms to get together and share best practices and lessons learned out there in the field. And they have really been a key component of our association's growth and the membership value we provide.
Right. I would think that from a benefit standpoint, like you said, Elise, that it's constantly evolving. I mean, you know, there wasn't Twitter 10 years ago.
Every day is a new day.
And now, you know, there's Snapchat and there's a new social media outlet, you know, every month, it seems.
We're actually in the process right now of doing a member survey, a pretty robust survey, to really get a sense of what are the needs of our members today. Because as fast as things are changing, it would be silly for us to think that what we delivered 5 years ago still has the same value as it would today. So taking that pulse of our membership to really understand how can we deliver value in a way that's going to work in their worlds and the demands that are on their lives and evolve.
So what's the rhythm for the Georgia chapter getting together? Do you have Margarita Mondays?
Good idea.
We have
put that on your survey, see what kind of response you get.
We have a very robust programming. We have usually monthly luncheons that are about a big topic, oftentimes panels. We even had a great media relations panel recently where the reporters all told us to text them, and it was sort of amazing. The PR people love to hear that. It's usually like, don't call me ever. And now it was like, no, there's an openness, there's a transparency. The journalists get rewarded for tweeting and for social media activity and like good stories to come their way. But we have a lot of events from the SIGs, the special interest groups that Elise mentioned, to something we do for college students in the spring called the Real World Conference, where students can come in and learn what it's really like to work in public
relations. Shadow? Does it involve shadowing? Or is it you guys just telling them?
Oddly enough, today is shadowing day. So this afternoon, I've got 12 students coming from all over the state through PRSA to come to our firm.
So you were afraid to bring them in here, huh?
That's right. I could have had them shadow this as well. That would have been interesting. And so we do the Real World Conference. We do an annual conference, which is just like a national conference that you'd go to, but brought right here to Atlanta. And we do that in the spring. But in a few weeks, actually on November 7th of 2013, we're doing our PRSA Awards celebration. And that's sort of the biggest night of our year. That is the night, and of course, public relations folks love to applaud the great work that's done.
The Elise Hammett Award, who gets...
Yes, the Lifetime Achievement Award. And we have a variety of awards for individuals that have excelled in both their PRSA service as well as in their work by day. And we also honor the campaigns and the projects and programs that have stood out. So we are all vying every year for what types of programs our clients or our companies will allow us to put out there that show the proper research and execution and evaluation that really move the needle for their organization. And so we all show up. It's like, you know, a gala with a silent auction, and it's held at the Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center, and just a spectacular night for the PR industry to celebrate the greatest work that's been done to manage reputations.
Does it surprise you at all how collaborative this crowd seems to be? Because I would have thought it a very competitive arena.
This is a very strange market in Atlanta. I think we mentioned this is the second biggest PRSA chapter in the nation. And the agency heads and the corporations, they really get along in this organization. It's uncanny. We've had different pitches that we've done against other agencies where we're very upfront, like, you know, hey, I'm seeing you at the PRSA meeting, and I guess next week I'm going up against you in a brutal competition for who's going to win the next assignment for the soft drink company or, you know, for the home improvement company. And so we absolutely get along as friends, realizing that there's this professional development, there's this common, unusual profession that we're in that has a lot of mystery to it that folks, you know, don't necessarily know about outside of our world. And so there is a lot of collegiality among the folks in PRSA.
I think it's pretty phenomenal. I joined the chapter immediately graduating from college. And
that seems common, though, right?
No.
Not as common as you might think. Part of it is just the investment that's required. Mm-hmm. If you don't work for an organization that will pay your dues for you, then as a hungry college graduate.
But I would think there would be networking opportunities if I just graduated.
Oh, absolutely. There's value.
Right.
Whether college students see that clearly or not is another
question. How many pizzas does it cost me to join?
Well, that's funny you should say that, because one of the promotions that we've done in the past is to encourage students to ask their parents for their membership as a graduation gift. Because there is a discounted membership rate for new graduates. But what I was going to say is, as a graduate and or someone entering the market, even as a more seasoned professional, PRSA really helps to make a big city a small community. Mm-hmm. And a friendly environment, such a sense of wanting to help and support one another, because we've received that help and support early in our careers. So it's sort of that pay it forward mentality that I think is core to who we are as an organization, and one of the things that I think makes it so special.
So take us into the future a little bit, Neil. What's the vision?
Well, I think part of the thing, one thing that I think about is how strong a foundation that we have as such a large organization and such an engaged membership, that we have a really strong foundation to build upon. We have seasoned members who've been members for decades, who provide industry leadership. They're advocates for the profession. We have young professionals who bring a unique energy and keep us on our toes, and trying to figure out how we can bring the most value to all of those diverse stakeholders within the organization. And it's not easy, but it's also an exciting challenge. And coming into it thinking, you know what, just because we've done something a certain way for a number of years doesn't mean that that's the way we have to do it moving forward. And giving yourself permission to kind of think big. But that's hard too, because old habits die hard, and you really have to have a group of folks around you like Stephen and Elise who will keep you honest and make sure that we don't lose sight of what that vision is, to evolve as an organization, to make sure we continue to thrive, because there's a lot of competition. You know, there are other professional associations in the communication space and marketing that compete for time and attention, let alone people's day jobs, right? So you have to have a compelling offering to really get people to not only join but stay and also engage.
So now it seems that public relations has navigated the advent of and the popularity of social media better than advertising, in my mind. And I think it's partially because you guys are open to relationship with journalists, and you're about creating dialogue and opening the door to conversations instead of selling overtly, where advertising maybe has stuck or was slower to market to get beyond this. I've got to pitch and sell and sell and sell. And PR professionals are about engagement and dialogue.
Right, because we don't control.
Right.
In advertising, you control the message because you buy it.
Right.
We don't control it. We're empowering people to communicate, to have dialogue.
But it seems to me that PR professionals, their value to an organization has grown because of the advent of social media.
Well, Scandal and Nashville, the published on Nashville, have certainly helped.
I mean, they used to just be Bewitched, you know?
Yeah. That's right, the advertising copywriters. I'll say that the value for us as public relations professionals is different for each person. I think each person who joins an organization like ours, some are doing it for the networking, some are doing it for the camaraderie, for the accreditation, for the professional development. I point to one thing in my career that anybody who hears would say, like, I've got to join PRSA, and it's $5 million. That's how much money I have made for agencies I've worked at based on PRSA relationships. I've got a little trunk of the tree near my house that I carve another line on it every time another $1 million happens. Not that $1 million is growing on trees, but literally the connections made through PRSA have led to my last three jobs. They've led to five or six of my last 20 clients came directly from PRSA relationships. So
true.
Yes, and the agency folks and the corporate folks interacting together, it's just a really helpful way to know somebody who's in a very important role in all the companies in Atlanta.
Well, clearly at the core of PRSA and at the core of your profession is this word that keeps coming up in this conversation, relationship. You might put a lot of advertising in more of a transactional dynamic, I guess.
You know, as I speak to the students this afternoon, one of the core points I was going to bring up is that relationships aren't just on social media. You can have great relationships on social media, great dialogue, but what happens to the in-person? What happens when you're encountering folks in real life, you know, recognizing what their real interests and emotions are, what their real needs might be, and making that real-life connection happen? People expect public relations folks to be able to have relations with the public. That means, do you know the mayor's office? Do you know folks who are in the utilities companies? Do you know folks who are influencers in the media and bloggers? All these different folks. You can't be a good public relations person without being involved in the community and having relationships in the community. And that's part of the transaction, when someone purchases public relations services, they should expect that a public relations person is involved in the community, like the folks here in PRSA, but should expect that you have relationships. That's something, a currency for us.
You know, it's I just have to share with y'all. It's a really powerful moment for me. But in the December meeting, we're going to do Feld Entertainment. Feld Entertainment owns Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey, Disney on Ice, Monster Jam, Nuclear Cowboys. The properties are huge and global. And the woman who is the regional director of public relations for Feld is a lady named Crystal Drake. Crystal and I got our APRs together in 2001, and we have been trying to work together ever since. My agency is now her agency of record in the state of Georgia, and it's just so cool to have this seminal moment where it is a true living case study of the relationships that we form and the synergies that we bring together, and then ultimately how that results in, you know, great campaigns and great programs for great clients that we all can learn from. You know, because here we're actually revealing what happens, you know, behind the curtain of the greatest show on earth, and how that comes to be, that ultimately fills the seats at Phillips Arena or the Gwinnett Arena. And the fact that Feld will allow us to talk about that and how it's done, and that, you know, that two women who were just study buddies over a decade ago are now leading this charge, it's awesome. You know, it's special.
Now, relationships, I mean, we're talking about it, and from a B2C standpoint, I would strategically, there's a different type of relationship that you would build for clients that are B2B. Now, Stephen, you mentioned that you have a B2B client, the real estate client, that is trying to build relationships, right? And it's not a mass media anymore. They can give you a list of companies by name, right, that they want to build relationships, and people by name. And part of your role can be to help them build those relationships, actually individual at a time, which is that's a big shift in terms of an industry where advertising one time was a mass media. I'm trying to get as many eyeballs or ears or whatever I'm trying to get, as many as possible. But now, because of social media and relationships, you can drill this down to a granular level to individuals.
You know, you absolutely can see how a story hyperlinked to your website helps you as a B2B or a B2C company. You also can see how being a part of organizations or doing lead generation can actually be a strong part of public relations. And that's probably not even a phrase that folks used a couple years ago in terms of public relations, that PR, your reputation, your work with community groups and grassroots works could actually have lead generation qualities for your company. So when people start perking up about the metrics, the big data related to PR, they start realizing that this is probably the most affordable piece in the marketing mix of all that you could be doing. You could literally overnight have your biggest customers created, have your biggest advocates championing you within days if you actually look strategically at the relationships you have and put those to work for you.
But you can actually, right, but you can actually, if that client of yours said, I want to reach these 10 firms, and you can get down to, I want to know this president of this organization, you can build a public relations campaign that can do that for them now, right?
We have literally had clients before that say, I want to get to know the CIO of this company, and or the, you know, the head of real estate at this company, and we've come up with a few different game plans for how that could happen, whether it was mobilizing your employees to do this or that, or being able to be appearing at the same place to make those relationships happen. So there's definitely a structure to networking, a structure to making those relationships happen that is a strategic game plan for us in PR.
Now, from a PRSA standpoint, what do you guys need more of? Do you need more members that are young, that are college graduates? Do you need more corporations to get involved from a corporate standpoint? Do you need more agencies? What do you guys need more of?
Really across the board. It's not about a quantity game. But we want quality individuals who are attracted to what we're all about, which is about lifelong learning and supporting the growth of the profession. And that can come in many forms. So yes, we want to continue to connect with graduating college students and make sure we can do whatever we can to support their transition into the real world. For mid-career professionals, what can we do to support their further growth? And then we still focus heavily on what are the kinds of programming and offerings that we can provide to professionals who've been out there for 20 and 30 years, and there's still value in that. So one of the greatest benefits of an organization like ours is the diversity, and so we want to make sure that we continue to maintain diversity in all of its forms, anything that you can think of, so that we are representing the profession in as most well-rounded way as possible.
You know, the other thing that I would add to our talk today is how important small businesses are. There are lots of terrific independent counselors who are members of PRSA and small businesses that are doing public relations, you know, where there are, let's say, 10 or less employees. Mm-hmm. And one of the real benefits of PRSA's membership for those small businesses is they can get discounts on insurance for their employees. They get great benefits for like car rental and cheaper rates on FedEx and other properties like that. So there's so much value that we're delivering. And for those independent counselors and those small businesses, those kind of benefits help them live the American dream.
Mm-hmm. We just had someone was just telling me the other day that we had one very large Fortune 100 company have all of its employees join, and basically they're outsourcing their training and development to PRSA. So they know the level and quality of programming that PRSA can deliver to its employees and recognize that they can't do it more cheaply themselves.
Wow, that's a good point. So what would be a target for that size organization, or who would be a good prospect for that?
That can be any organization. We do have group memberships.
Uh-huh.
And Elise, is it 10 or 10?
Yeah, 10 to 12 or more. It's an awesome discount when you have that many, you know, employees in a public relations position to get the corporate membership. Mm-hmm. And to our point earlier about how important internal communication is, we've seen companies who have gotten that corporate member discount by looking at their internal communication managers, their external communication managers, their social media managers, you know, all the way across the board, and then put the 12 together.
Uh-huh. So they cobbled it together across departments.
Yeah.
But what an endorsement of the educational opportunities you described earlier when you say companies are essentially just outsourcing that that professional development to PRSA. That's you're not going to get a better endorsement than that.
That's right. So now if somebody wanted to learn more, the website?
Website is a phenomenal resource. We actually just launched a new website last year, and just about any information you'd want to know about the organization is on there. It's prsageorgia.org. We also have a Facebook page, Twitter, YouTube as well, and that's a great place to connect with our members.
And it's Georgia, so it's the state of Georgia. So you have, I mean, we're here in Atlanta, but there's opportunities to engage throughout the state.
Yeah, we have members throughout the state. Savannah, Rome, Athens, Macon, Columbus.
And this awards celebration later in the year, is that's a statewide?
It is statewide, and in addition, we're also launching a program called PRSA Georgia in Your Neighborhood. And, you know, this hyper-local term is big, buzzy right now. And these are hyper-local events in people's neighborhoods, whether it's East Cobb, Northside, Decatur, where PRSA Georgia folks are gathering just in those neighborhoods to be able to discuss these issues. So really bringing it down to the really hyper-local level throughout Georgia as well.
Good stuff. Well, thank you all for being part of this.
Thank you for inviting us.
Please.
Now, this is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.